Hello and welcome to Inside Business with Wendy Austin. The headlines, hopes rise for jobs as a deal's reached for a Right Bus sale. White's Tavern, one of Belfast's oldest, taken over by the Clover Group. They say they'll refurbish it and create 30 jobs. With a couple of weeks to go, Brexit advice reaches a new pitch. Speaking of which, we've the winner of the Catalyst Invent Awards and he's pitch perfect on Inside Business today. Well, whilst the Brexit merry-go-round keeps turning, life and business also continue. And this week, the winner was announced of the Invent Award. Run by Catalyst, Invent looks for innovations that have the greatest commercial potential. The finalists get high-profile exposure, access to a quality network of influencers. Oh, and there's also a prize fund of £33,000. So by the time they reach the awards night, the lucky hopefuls will have gone through several rounds of pitches assessed by independent expert judges. A real dragon's den. Only tougher, I think. This year, the winner could be said to have had the perfect pitch. Lewis Lone invented Signal Optimizer. It's a product which significantly improves the sound quality between a guitar and amplifier. His company's called Toran. John McElhone's company CropSafe was the Agri-Science winner. Liz Gilligan's from Concrete Jungle, the company, won the engineering category. And Elaine Smith's with us as well. She's Director of Innovation Community at Catalyst. Elaine, tell us a wee bit about the Invent Awards, how they got started and what they're all about.
Really, it was an opportunity for Catalyst to really encourage those entrepreneurs with very early stage ideas to, I guess, have the courage to step forward with those ideas and put them out there so that others could get involved in encouraging them, validating those ideas. So 11 years ago, that's when the Invent Awards started. And over the years, the momentum has continued to build. This year we had 110 applications, and then we filtered those down to the 12 finalists who were pitching last night, and to an audience last night of 714 people. So it has
No pressure there.
Yeah, it has really grown in momentum. But over the years, the number of new entrepreneurs that have stepped forward, new innovations that have been birthed. And I think it's just a general encouragement that folks can operate in this space and encourage more entrepreneurs, because we need more entrepreneurs and we need more quality entrepreneurs to really make this a successful innovation region.
I mean, it's quite a process. You touched on it there, but tell us how it works from maybe, do you apply? Are you nominated? How do you go through those various phases and then get to the point, as these companies did last night, where you're pitching to the 714 people?
So the process starts around February time, and we put an open call out for proof of concept ideas, and people apply. And then we shortlist down those applications against the selection criteria. And then the folks that meet the criteria are invited to do an initial pitch, a 3-minute pitch. We call that the qualifying rounds. We had about 100 of the team's pitch at that stage. And then we shortlisted down to 24 semi-finalists. 24 semi-finalists then pitch in front of a panel of VCs, investors from outside of Northern Ireland. And then from that, we shortlist down to the 12 finalists. And then the 12 finalists, they then pitch again in a private setting to 11 judges, independent from Catalyst, experts in the field. And then the category winners are selected and the overall winner is selected.
So it is quite a process. Just to go back briefly, if you would, to the beginning of that explanation there, where you talked about proof of concept. Mm-hmm. How does that work, just for anyone who might be kind of thinking of going down this path? What is that exactly?
It's really for folks who have ideas that are proven to an extent. There's some validation that, one, it's possible, and two, there could be a market opportunity for it. So a little bit more than just an idea in someone's head, that it is proven to an extent, but not a product that is already in the marketplace.
It's not fully formed. Yes. You haven't got your prototype, any of that kind of thing. Yeah,
there might be a prototype, but certainly that people aren't necessarily out selling to the global market just yet.
Okay. So we've got three of the winners, and the one of them, the main award winner last night, you're the overall winner, Lewis. You're not long out of secondary school. So, I mean, tell us about your company.
Yeah, so from sort of the 1950s until now, the real number one frustration of millions of musicians across the world has been the loss of up to 50% of their sound quality when playing amplified instruments. So Signal Optimizer, which I've developed, is a plug-and-play device that allows musicians to get the full sound of their instruments continuously. So I'm a musician. I play guitar for the past sort of 10 years, and I'm currently studying electrical and electronic engineering at Queen's. So I sort of put those two things together to come up with a solution to this problem. And then when I started developing a solution, I approached the Enterprise SU team at Queen's, who were pointing me in the right direction and have continued to support me up to this point.
And it was actually, you had a sort of revelatory moment, didn't you, when you went, you tried a guitar in a shop, it sounded fantastic, and when you brought it home and plugged it into your much better amplifier, it didn't sound as good?
Exactly, yep, that happened. So, that kind of, I had a knowledge of the problem, but that really kind of motivated me to come up with a solution, because I was sitting there with a guitar that I just bought and it wasn't sounding any good. It was from then on that I really tried to take the idea further and further, develop it into a realistic product that I could at some point bring to market.
And I know you're going to tell us later on about some of the people who've been involved, because of course there's quite a guitar community here in Northern Ireland with Loudons and so mm-hmm. on. I'll come back to that in a second. I'm keen to hear first of all from our other two finalists who've won in their categories. Liz, yours was the engineering category, and your product is called Concrete Jungle. What's that all about now?
So it's based off my PhD research. So it's to create a bioreceptive concrete, which is basically a concrete that can sustain plant life on its surface. It's made from 90% waste, and it reduces the concrete's carbon consumption by 85%.
So is this a sort of living wall we're talking about?
Yeah, so in layman's terms, it's a living wall that is made from recycled material.
And it's interesting that it's you, and there are some other people involved in the company as well. Mm. One of the names that I recognised from actually a previous winner, which was in those days Girly Concrete, but it's now Tactility Factory.
Yeah,
so there's a real link up there, isn't there?
Yeah, no, so she's one of my PhD supervisors as well, and she just knows everything about concrete. She's been amazing. And so she really encouraged me to kind of pursue it, of taking the research outside of the university and seeing what can be done with it. Can we make it into a business, and how does that work?
So this Concrete Jungle, I've seen photographs of it. Mm. You had a wall that was at Queen's for a while with the stuff growing in it, basically. Where would you see that being used? In any building?
Yeah, so in any building. We're also looking at using it in paving. Sorry. We're also looking at using it in paving or roofs. So there's kind of multiple applications for it. So could it be used on big council buildings? Could it be used on your home? Because we are going to keep building in cities, so we need to change the way we're building in them. So this is kind of a add-on product that we don't have to change our existing infrastructure for.
Is it good insulation then as well?
Yeah, so it has insulation properties. So concrete's great for thermal massing, so it keeps it cold and warm, so it retains the heat, which is great. So it could reduce your cost of your heating bills, cooling bills, and just all around really good for cities.
Excellent. Very interesting, I must say, too. And John, as is Crop Safe now, you're from a farming background, so is Michal, who's involved in the company with you, is your partner there. Tell us how it came about.
Yeah, so traditionally farmers would survey their crops manually. It'd take them every other week, they'd survey them by walking them. It could take dozens of hours. So our solution uses satellite imagery and artificial intelligence, and it's able to pick up or detect diseases within the crops. So if it spots a small outbreak of a disease, it can start to alert the farmer on their mobile phone instead of them having to go out into their field and survey it manually.
So a satellite in space
right.
can spot something going wrong in a cornfield in Cumber.
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, that's a fantastic concept, really, isn't it? I mean, how did you come up with that?
I believe we were at a hackathon about a year ago. So it's basically a competition where all these people interested in technology and satellites and basically anything try to build something over a weekend. So we were from a farming background and we sort of knew problems with farming that hasn't really been brought to modern times yet. And we were familiar with satellite technology and what we could do with it. So we sort of combined what problems we saw within farming with what current technology solutions are available now.
And you and Micheál had already been tinkering with all kinds of different things, hadn't you? I mean, it wasn't your first hackathon. It just happened to be one where there was satellite technology. So you'd always had something in mind.
Yeah. We were always working on different projects and always trying to figure out ways to improve stuff.
I suppose that's, in some ways, Elaine, what Invent is about, isn't it? It's about capturing that curiosity and desire to make something, to solve something.
Yeah. Well, that is essentially entrepreneurship, people solving problems, coming up with new solutions, new products that are either going to disrupt industries or bring increased efficiency in certain areas, or really change the quality of people's lives as well. So it was actually, John was on our Generation Innovation Programme last year, and we had the pleasure of John joining one of the teams to go through a whole process of design thinking when he was on that programme. And I think even seeing a year on, I don't think either of us would have imagined you winning a category at Invent, but I think it's the guys, it's their determination and their just commitment to develop solutions, and I think looking at problems that are close to them, real life problems, and how they can bring that. And as I said before, we need more of this entrepreneurial spirit where lots of people are just coming up with more and more solutions.
Is that something that's maybe that you all have in common? Maybe you'd like to answer this, Lewis. You know, the fact that you're constantly looking for things. Is that what you were maybe encouraged to do at school? Is it what you're encouraged to do at university as well?
Yeah, I think, sort of from an engineering background, that's kind of the way you're taught to think. You spot a problem and try and come up with a solution. And it ties in quite nicely with the sort of entrepreneurial side of it, because once you've got a solution, then you can kind of bring that up further. So I think, the engineering background is really the reason that I'm the way I would do that.
I mean, did you wonder at any point when you were putting your product together why nobody had done this before? You know, if you say that millions of people, that they're all hacked off of the fact that it doesn't sound as good as they think it should, so why did they not do something about it?
Yeah, so I think there's a few reasons of that. Within the guitar, specifically within that industry, people really like the old guitars based off the original ones in the 50s and 60s. Same with amplifiers. And it's old technology, which is why there's the problem there. And then with guitar effects pedals, which would go between the guitar and amplifier and change the sound of the guitar, they're becoming a bit more innovative, which is why Signal Optimizer will be a device that will sit alongside those, is because innovation within those is more accepted rather than putting it in a guitar or an amplifier. So that was one of the reasons. I think there's sort of a reluctancy to embrace innovation a wee bit. Another reason is a key part of the technology in Signal Optimizer has only been recently developed, and that is what allows it to do what it does, which is continuously allow the full sound of the instrument to be heard.
Now, I mentioned Loudon guitars there, and we've spoken to them on the programme before on some occasions. You've been working with them a bit, and they've got another interesting tie-up too, haven't they?
Yes, so that was through a programme called Lean Launch Programme by Cubus run that, and that was to speak to people within the industry to confirm that there is actually a market for what you're doing. So I met with Loudon, to talk through what they thought about the idea, if they think there's a market there, and then got some advice on how to kind of advertise and what kind of things to do in that way. So that's Loudon, and then also Sheeran by Loudon, which is Ed Sheeran's guitar company, which is very exciting. Also through that Lean Launch programme, we got a trip to Nashville to the world's largest music show over there, which was very exciting and a really good couple of days. And that was what really confirmed the size of the market. For Signal Optimizer, we knew that it was a good product and it was fixing the problem, but it was really attending that trade show and speaking to people within the industry that were like, okay, the market's global, and there's a real need for this.
I mean, at something like that, do you get the chance for somebody really famous to play their guitar and use your piece of equipment.
That's the goal. to maybe get a famous guitar player like John Mayer or Ed Sheeran or someone like that to have it on their rig .
Oh, give us a call when it happens. Yeah. We'll be there. And John, we're going to swap you with your partner Mayhall in just a moment. But there was something I wanted to ask you about, and I must say, when I read this, I was so delighted because it's exactly what I would do too. I mean, you've done website design, and you know, you were building sites and trying to figure out how to solve problems. You said, and you also do video production of this lovely nature reserve that you live near at Loch Ness. And when you were asked if it was self taught, you said you can just find it out online, you Google it and work it out for yourself. And I thought, yes. So it's not just me, but you know, so people like you who have all of this knowledge do that as well.
Yeah, you can pretty much find anything online, like tutorials. Like before we even started our project, I hadn't a clue what satellites were or how they worked or anything to do with the imagery. But over time, you can just find like people willing to help you online or videos that just show you through the whole process. And it's just amazing how much resources is actually available if you look for it.
So are you still working on CropSafe, or have you other things?
I graduated high school earlier this year in June, but I'm working full-time on CropSafe right now.
Oh, fascinating. Yeah. And you're literally just out of St. Mary's in Macrophelt, yeah?
Yeah.
That's quite something. I'm going to let you go
of course. Let
Micheál come in and take your seat, which you've very kindly been keeping warm for him. And I'm going to have another word with Liz about the concrete jungle. Because, you know, I suppose the ways in which cities and so on are built now, and the desire for carbon capture and that kind of thing, does that all feed into what you're trying to do with your living walls and having that green vertical space as well as perhaps on the ground?
Yeah, so the way the concrete's designed is it has more holes than normal concrete, so it absorbs atmospheric CO2 at a quicker rate. So normal concrete, you only have one surface, but because it's like a honeycomb structure, all the way through it does that. So throughout its whole life, it'll be absorbing more carbon. And then the plants on the surface absorb the air pollution. So from the tests we've done at the moment, we can reduce air pollution by up to 65%, depending on where the growth is facing and the orientation and the wind speed. But we can reduce that. So it's like a multitude of multifunctional material. It's doing more than just one job. It's how can we make it do multiple things within a city?
And so when you talk about it potentially being used in paving and so on, I mean, there's quite a big thing in the States, which is moving over here at the moment, of having a sort of living verge, which acts as a barrier between people on the pavement and the carbon producing cars on the roads. Is that the kind of situation where you might be able to use that then?
Yeah, so that's that idea. And also not having such a stark line between the concrete and the landscaping. Like, can we make it more organic? Can we create urban spaces that are holistic, that are doing everything we need them to, that are healthy, but also blur the lines between material and growth or landscaping? And what does that look like? And could this material be modular so it's really easy to install? It's quicker than what we normally use. It's more energy efficient and sustainable.
Fascinating. You're listening to Inside Business, by the way. I'm talking to Lewis Lone, who was the winner last night of who was the winner on Thursday night of the Invent Catalyst Invent Awards. He's sitting alongside Liz Gilligan, from whom you've just been hearing. Her company's Concrete Jungle. It won the Engineering Award. Elaine Smith is Director of Innovation Community with Catalyst. We heard earlier on from John McElhone, who's from CropSafe. And we've now been joined by his partner in crime, if I could put it like that, Micheál McLaughlin. Come in a wee bit there, Micheál, and we'll be able to hear you then. So the two of you have been working away while you've been at St. Mary's in Macrophelt, developing all kinds of things, and then you go to this hackathon, discover satellite technology, and off you go, basically.
Yeah, that's how it went. So at the hackathon, we were learning about all the new technologies, and then we were in the room for maybe 9 hours trying to figure out how we're going to use this technology. And like John said, we used our knowledge and from our farming backgrounds, and we applied it to crop disease. And from there, we've just continued working on CropSafe.
And you do all kinds of normal things outside what's now work, as opposed to school, which it was until the beginning of the summer. you like to skateboard, you play a bit of golf and do a bit of web design. How important is it to you doing that sort of trying to figure things out thing?
Yeah, so that's probably the main thing that keeps me going. Like, if there's a problem, trying to solve it and trying to figure out how you can solve it, just to make things more efficient and make the lives of farmers better.
That whole farming side of it's obviously very important to you. And I suppose that's where a lot of the Northern Ireland engineering tradition comes from, isn't it? Farmers seeing that there's something that they aren't doing properly and inventing something that will do it for them, which is what you've done now.
Yeah, for sure. We want to make farmers be able to use our service anywhere in the world, so they can just survey their crops. They don't have to walk around the fields, and just saving them so much time so they can focus on other things.
I mean, your farming background, you're saying that this is, I suppose, a much more modern way of doing things. But things have moved on quite a bit, haven't they? I mean, I think on a couple of occasions here we've had conversations with people who've invented different kinds of apps which help farmers to do various things that otherwise would have been very time consuming. And I don't know if maybe you and John have seen that in the farming circumstances in which you're living.
Yeah, we were definitely surprised to see the amount of technology that's emerging in ag tech. We actually saw a few companies in ag tech at InVent last year, which really inspired us to continue working on CropSafe, because we saw that this is an area people are working on, and precision farming specifically, it's an area that's going to be very beneficial to farmers in the future.
That's one of the things, I suppose, Elaine, about this, isn't it? About InVent and about the various other stages that young entrepreneurs and other entrepreneurs go through. That cross-fertilisation, if I could put it like that, is really important, isn't it?
It is, and it's something that we really try to encourage through the Catalyst community, where we can, through all different programs and initiatives that people get to meet other people, and just diversity of teams come together and support. There's just such a vast amount of support here for entrepreneurs, and such. Last night, it really was quite overwhelming. You looked out at the room and you saw the businesses, the organisations, the institutions, the individuals who are all so committed to supporting these young entrepreneurs, and it's just fabulous to be part of it.
And you have your sort of tech giants, you know, innovation stars that come along and encourage young people as well. And to what extent, I wonder, Lewis, is that a real inspiration to you, to see that the people who've gone before you?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a definite inspiration. It makes you sort of realise the possibilities of what you're doing. So I look up to the people who've done this before me. So, for example, Machine Eye, who were in InVent last year, recently spoke to them, and sort of they're kind of maybe a year or two ahead of me. So I kind of look up to them to see what they're doing and see what if I can follow in what they're doing. And the success of them kind of drives me as well.
And the ones who are a bit ahead of you like that, and are they do all seem to be very generous with their time and their advice and their kind of camaraderie, if you like. Is that the way you found it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it sort of helps everyone if you're open to giving advice to the people coming up as well. Like one of the most productive conversations I had was with a man named Stephen Henderson with a company called Room Music, which is a relatively young company but very successful. And just hearing his story from actually, you know, starting up himself and doing it all himself was really inspirational to make me believe that, like, I can then do something like that.
What about you, Liz? I mean, who have you been able to kind of get that sort of inspiration from on the way through?
I think there's such a huge community. Like, you can go to anyone. Like, being in the university, there's a whole lot. And then it's, like, the outside world. Like, Northern Ireland has an amazing entrepreneurial scene. Like, there's so many people. And I think, especially being a young business, you're not really a threat to anyone. So everyone's so willing to help you and share their journey and kind of help you map it out, because I think that's what you need. You need someone to be like, oh, I did this. This took me like 10 months. Don't do that. Like, actually go this way. This will save you like 10 months. And people just want to help everyone. And I think that's the beauty of kind of the culture here. It's, oh yeah, I'll help you do that. You know, it's just everyone's so free and willing and generous with their time. It's amazing.
I mean, the rest of us are kind of rooted in the soil here, but you're a bit of a newbie, if I could put it like that. And when you talk about with great gusto, obviously, your Concrete Jungle product, when you look around Belfast, apart from that, what would you think would improve us living in a city like Belfast?
Ooh.
That's a hard one, really,
yes,
isn't it?
That's a thinker. I don't know. I think there's so many things that can be done. Like, I think having programs like Invent Catalyst to get people to become entrepreneurs, like, I think that's the way. You want to be your own boss. You get to decide who you get to be. You get to solve the problems that matter to you. And I think that's why these programs are so important. And it's getting young people to realize you can be an entrepreneur. Like, I wish I'd realized it younger. Like, I wish that I'd known that you don't have to get a job, you don't have to do what everyone else tells you to do. You can do the things that you love, and you can make a business from that and do things that are scary. Like, it will be scary, but it's amazing and it's a great journey, and I think everyone should do it.
Has it been scary for you yet, Michal?
Yes, sometimes it's scary, but you just got to go for it. There's so many opportunities in Northern Ireland, and you just got to go for it and, yeah, really try your best. That's all you can do, and then amazing things come out of it.
And you've got your product, your Crop Safe, but it seems to those of us on the outside of all of these new companies that it's a process of constant evolution. So you don't just sit there with it the way it is. You're always doing something to tweak it or improve it. Is that right?
Yeah, for sure. So we'd be talking to farmers and seeing how they would interact with the platform, and then iterating the platform to make it easier to use, and collecting data, and just keep on progressing the platform just so it's accessible for all farmers. It's a continuous process.
And Lewis, for you, what sort of a difference do you think it'll make having been the outright winner of Invent?
It'll make a massive difference. Not even just from the financial side of things, which will make a massive difference, of course, but from the exposure that brings, and also from the process of Invent, the things you learn along the way. Like, as Lane said, it started back in sort of February time, and there was various sort of like workshops and mentoring along the way, and you just are constantly picking up information and new ways to do things. I think that's really invaluable for all the finalists, and that's probably worth as much, if not more, than the award itself.
And once you've won the award and once you've been category winners and so on, do you stay in a process there, or are you cast adrift?
No, I think we're just stay in contact and give continued updates and anything that we need sort of advice or support with to let the team know, and they can point us in the right direction.
What does happen, Liz, after the awards? I mean, you obviously move on to next year's lot, but with the previous years, I mean, do you keep in touch with them all?
I think the way we have designed the entrepreneurial support at Catalyst is that the support is designed for the early stage entrepreneurs, but also to help them grow and scale their businesses as well. So through other programs, the Springboard program, Way to Scale, our CEOs Connect, and our help and support around funding, these guys are with us for a long time.
And what about your previous winners? I mean, I can remember a few of them, and there are some that you see more about. There are others that perhaps have changed a bit in the meantime, but you must keep track of them and the many success stories there.
Again, I was on the stage last night, and one of the biggest encouragements looking out was when I saw some of the previous winners, actually not even winners, some of the previous participants, who are now at a stage where they had a table of their staff attending the Invent Awards. And we were at our campus in Ballymena. Plotbox, one of the previous winners, they're a tenant company there. They've hired 52 staff. They've just hired a people and culture manager to look after their staff. They have offices in the US, in Australia. So that in itself is so encouraging to see.
And they are, of course, Inside Business alumni as well, I'm delighted to say. So, look, thanks to all of you so much for coming in to see us today. We've had a really interesting insight there to the Catalyst Invent Awards. My thanks to Lewis Lone, to Liz Gilligan, to John McElhone, to Elaine Smith, and to Michal as well. The programme was produced by Niall Blaney. I'm Wendy Austin. You can stay in touch on Twitter at WendyTalksBiz with two Zs. Now, the programme's having a time change in a couple of weeks. We'll be moving to our new slot of Saturdays at 12:30. That's from Saturday the 26th of October. I'll remind you about that next week. Inside Business, Sundays 1:30, Mondays 6:30 for now, or sign up to the podcast, and then you definitely won't miss it.